Now I have a microphone, you know, not only,
can everybody hear?
Okay. I have a microphone in fact, but I also have a fucking microphone. So, you know, let me just echo, first Sabo's very beautiful remarks. I like the Tartona part and the application spoke. It has been a very difficult year, you know, objectively for the world, again, in terms of the pandemic and all the restrictions that imposed. I think Yeshiva did really, I have to say, a magnificent job. I'm critical when deserving, but I think the Yeshiva did mostly a magnificent job in keeping open and encouraging people to be here, for doing it in a safe and responsible way. But that also required the participation and the cooperation of a lot of people, including Talmidim, and that's, you know, something, the combination of being enthusiastic and trying to maximize presence and keep things as normal as possible, while at the same time being sensitive to the institutional needs and also just to the needs of the chaverim and family. I think it's a difficult balance, but it's been done. I think it's been done without drama, and mostly, and that's always good too. It's time for drama, and there, you know, if you're really sincere and substantive, then you know you figure out the right way to do things, and you don't have to, you know, overstate either. It doesn't become a part of life, or it just becomes kind of a natural extension of your commitment. So I think that the Shiva does a good job. The Minim does a good job. I think our Shia has had particularly a very high presence on campus. Am I right, Avram?
Yeah.
I think more so than anyone else, which is probably why we're in this big echoing room, and which has had its own, you know, challenges along the way. And I'm very proud of that. And, you know, the people who have been on Zoom have been also, when we have been on Zoom, and those who have been on Zoom the whole time have been participating. You know, we found a way to get both populations involved. So I think we should have great pride in the Yeshiva, but I think we should have great pride in the efforts of our Yeshiva itself. And that goes, you know, to each and every one of you who have learned seriously and rigorously on your mat. To echo some of the specific thank yous, I'm not going to repeat them, of Avraham, but I join with them. To Josh and to Rami, who have really put a lot of effort into all of this, and you know, others like Moshe, and I don't want to leave people out, but to help with the technology side, and really everybody's efforts are very much appreciated. And it's a bit of a nostalgic moment because Avraham's involvement, you know, he says 7 years, a long time. But he, you know, particularly was coordinated in, you know, terms of the Shia Chazara, keeping everybody, you know, moving in a good direction. It's a very special way of doing things. They're both effective and, again, serious and substantive and, undramatic when that's a good thing, and, you know, also very effective. So that flows from, stems from his personal commitment and his special personality and natural type, in addition to his capabilities. So I won't embarrass him, but it's also nostalgic for me that this is, represents, I guess, you know, a stage, or the end of one stage. And Baruch Hashem, I, you know, I've also had the pleasure of working with him in other things, and, there's a great amount of that all of you and I enjoyed with him in terms of his contribution. So we'll miss him, but I think he'll always be connected to us, and we look forward to that. But a tremendous yisro koach, and we should continue to, you know, do great things, you know, mechala v'chayil in the next parts, you know, as you move forward and impact the Jewish community and so on. And I also want to say that it's both for the, you know, the leadership team, I guess, Avraham and Rami and Josh, as well as everybody else. In addition to the other difficulties for me particularly, it's been a bit of a challenging year. I just appreciate everybody's support and your wishes. I'm sorry if we missed a little time. We're trying to catch up, and hopefully we'll continue to catch up. But it's really been a pleasure, to be here and to get to know you. Again, I wish I knew everybody better. Hopefully, once the masks go off and things return to normal, where's Zizi? Is he here? There's Zizi. He introduced himself to me without his mask, at a wedding. I see him on Zoom, but when I see him in person, I see him without a mask. And psychologically, it's an interesting thing, it's a phenomenon, we're always interested in the Rabboni Shalom's Bria, how people, it's psi, it's like a big issue with halakha too. Like, how do you get to know people, and how do you physically recognize them? It's an issue in, the world of simani, for all sorts of things. But it's about psychological and neurological and intellectual and also an emotional process. When people have the masks and plastic and all sorts of things, you took off your breath. Drinking and cheering, is that appropriate? So, think about the sick. It's been a difficult, even though I'm proud of everybody, but, the hours that we're actually physically together and the barriers, but far as I'm understanding that, I think we've made some progress in a very unusual year. We look forward to more normalcy. And until that returns, we'll continue to make efforts. But for me personally, because of some losses, sadly, and also I have this silly throat issue, it's been an additional bit of a challenge. I just appreciate everybody's assistance and patience and good wishes and so on. Okay, so this is our last year for break and come back to the gym. Typically, in our last year we go very long. I'm not allowed to right now because I'm investing in getting my voice back fully. So that in the future I would go home. So today I just want to finish a couple of points. And then this will pick up with the rest. Talking is an amazing video. I wish we had gone further, but we've done quite a few topics, and we'll try to do more. And for the rest, the benefit of something like Pesachim is that it comes up every year anyway, so you can always add to it somewhat. I'm sorry we didn't get the Arba Pesachim, Monday project. Waylay. And I know we're looking forward to it because I read Herb Moshe's Groundhog. So I apologize. But we'll try to going forward at some point. Try to get back to Nazar Horror and save on those topics too. Okay. So in terms of how much I can do today before a share stops me. Which again, I very much appreciate. It's not easy for him to do, but it's out of a sense of affection and devotion, which I regard tremendously. I think it is. It would be presumptuous. But I think we were really discussing the issue of the continuation of the choir. Basically, what I'm trying to suggest, along the lines of Abraham's beautiful mashal, is that when you look at the larger tapestry in this here, it's fascinating how some of these little pieces, which again, admittedly, many understand as more details and even Rambanan compensatory in nature, but it's not. It's clear also that not all Rishonim understand that. And since every Rishon is one of the Hakhar Solo, and his insight and his perspective is part of the repository of Toshiba Alpha, and also reflects in a broader way, whether you accept this or that detail, accepts the broader way perspectives that are critical to understanding these solos. So kind of you know, identifying, I would say, mentality that sees even some of these little, you know, quote unquote little, relatively little, you know, problem as relating to big, you know, concepts and big ideas and subtle ideas is something that I think is very true, accurate, and also inspiring. So I think what we're up to is we're discussing Rashi's view. So something just, Stephen, you want to just read for us for a second, just to get the Shaka Matara under our belt again. Oh, no, before I do that, actually, I just have to mention, where's Kyle? Well, there's Kyle. Yeah, just before I start that, I wanted to mention that Kyle brought to my attention the other day when we were talking about Dabar and Dabar and Ramamo, and I mentioned the Rose perspective, and other reforms as well, but the way they said it, that Rav Shimon's Kachachachai Yisrael is qualitatively different than Dabar and Ramamo, and that that might affect might be more effective. That's what Rav is arguing. I was suggesting that the same logic may make it less. And then I was trying to bridge the two. But Kyle brought to my attention, which is very important, that this same idea, or at least something very close to it, is formulated in the name of Reb Chaim. He saw the, what is it, the footnotes of Exodus. I guess our footnotes on the new Exodus list. Where, which, where's it here? Which Exodus?
It was in the one
that
you were doing, Shem Kevav.
Oh, in that one itself. I mean, Shem Kevav Zion.
When you only said the PDF.
Okay, great. Who sent it out? Binyamin? Okay, we want to thank Binyamin as well. We're doing a quiet but amazing job. So again, they quote this in the name of Chaim. I think we figured out it comes from Rabbi Cheskel of Ramses, Talmud. Again, this idea that because Kachin is a feeling matter, but the way he formulated it was a little bit interesting. That is that because Kachin is a feeling matter, therefore even the Be'en, you know, is Kalos in the nether because it's poter you from bringing some other korban. Shaka, do you have a language? Yeah, go ahead.
So, according to Kaya,
in other words, the end here is suggesting is more prominent because even when nothing happens to it, it's being pulled to you from the end of that. And therefore, the whole distinction between the end and the era is irrelevant. Yet my point was more that, you know, if it's only a focus now, it doesn't really focus on the capital. It just means that there's no need for a new vendor because you have something to fulfill the vendor. I was trying to bridge the gap in a different way to talk about the nature of ownership in Kachin, I said on that. But this formulation is a very interesting one, and clearly that's, you know, consistent with what the Rambam was suggesting. Maybe that's an EPS shmua itself from the time. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention, and thank you for that. Okay, so now back to Siyotip Sheya, and let's try to get to a few points. So, Steve, go ahead. So the Gemara here has a Dayan Rambam. If I hadn't thought about that, she does on that more too, but I'll make some quick points and go to that. Go ahead.
I'm
So what's a bias view?
So bias says that if you're not going to be back on Pesach, then you don't have to fear. But if you're leaving...
So bias is making or not?
Bias is a maker.
Yeah, bias says either prior to 30 days or whenever you leave, if you have no intention of returning, either way he ends up with the bias. So he is, in terms of Dr. Kovar, is making. And then Rava says, I'm going to go. So Rava assumes the opposite. Rava says either presence within Shloshim Yom or the intention to return, before or during, that's Machlokas itself, is sufficient to generate the scheme B. Right? Okay. So that itself is interesting and a very interesting thing to do, but we're just not going to do now because I have very little time, is to try to figure out whether the two factors, in general, what is the relationship between these two factors, right? I mean, they seem to be different, and even a little bit, I wouldn't say at all, they seem to be two different kind. And if you look at some of the Mishnah, like David, the Ne'imi, Hanava, you certainly get the impression that they are different. Let's say, roughly speaking, that the din of Shloshim Yom has to do a lot with the Chobas Yom or the Chobas Yidika, right? And when that begins, and therefore once it begins, whether you have a certain responsibility to discharge it and to complete it. Get to that in a second. Is it a Chol Sagavra? Or is it already a Chol Sabayis? What exactly is it? Is it? Yeah, we'll get to that. Whereas the question of return seems more like it's not connected to Bika as much as the Biur, as much as it is to the Ben of Chavetz. Meaning, if you confront Chavetz because you're there, like what are you, or knowing that that's going to happen, what are your obligations? For some instances, as I said, it's more that, if you're going to be there, either right before or during, then I get the easiest way to say it in a pragmatic way. The chashash of achila, there's the easy opportunities, and like neglecting it, is something that is more of an egregious, counterstatement, things like that of the chunk. But they're quite differently, or no. Is it possible that these two factors really integrate into one? And if they do, is it the anticipation of where you're going to be at the time that expands or extends the field in advance or to neutralize whatever the threat is? But this question, Gufa, whether the factor of Shoshana and the factor of Bizman are two demon or one. Could Gufa be Machokas, or could integrate into Machokas between Rava and Abba? In other words, if you think that these are either ones out there, it's probably easier, right, to say that again, we have to start to say, if either one is, independently Kaveya, it's easier to say we're talking about two different demons. If it's, the need to neutralize both factors, then I think it's more of an open question whether the two factors are two ways of addressing the same problem, right? Or whether or not there are such two problems, like two issues, and you have to make sure that the two different considerations, each of which is neutralized. So it could be that there's a machlokas, a qualitative one, so it explains some things, that there's a qualitative machlokas between Abaya and Rava, whether or not you look at the two factors. Is one or two, that's something that would be very fruitful, you know, to pursue in this topic. Okay. Having said that, what I only want to zero in on, I think I put this up backwards, is the other issue, and that is what is going on. Right? After all, Zokuk Lavaer, Ein Zokuk Lavaer, right, is pretty amorphous. And when you read the Sunya, right, it's just very unclear what exactly we're talking about and what exactly is at stake. Typically, beer sounds like, you know, kashbisa. But, as we'll see in our, you know, final topic that we're just going to begin today, in the city of Habote Kisana Shivarek, we see from that topic, you know, well, nothing about the word beer.
That beer has to be...
The beer refers to what? What does beer mean? When you say, Asher Kedishan, it's supposed to be Sikhan, I'll be your companions. When do you say that?
Before you do the
beer. Before you do the beer? When you burn the Chametz on good Dalai before Chatzos. You make a bracha, I'll be your Chametz. Before? Before the B'dika. Right. And, of course, Rashi and Avzayim over ways, very integrated topics, very integrated argument, right, says, you know, Biur Hanu B'dika. Right? Al Biur Shabialti, Tapashi, Paradai Lobale, Abrachal Kalim B'dika, Biur Hanu B'dika. But as we already know, because we discussed it already several times, right, this, of course, is a big issue. Why does the bracha we say prior to the Dikas Chametz have the Nusach of Biur? Is that because it's a Hechsher Biur? Is that because we picked a phrase that can refer to both? So it's maybe less accurate for the Dika, but, you know, accurate enough so it covers both. You know, and that's why we chose it, even though it's less accurate. But if you have to choose between, you know, compromising accuracy, but let's say, you know, saving, you know, something bracha levatala or something like that, bundling the bracha for some other reason, that's of course that the word vidika, I'm sorry, the word vidika in this context, you know, is not a compromise at all. It doesn't imply action either. It's the idea of Krishna bias, it means penally, it means, you know, excising. It means, you know, creating a comet's zone, the comet's ride, you know, venue. In which case, you know, it's chosen for that reason, or it's chosen because there's two meanings, you know, the two maximal meanings. Be or B'dika, be or B. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is Zokuk Lavaer. What does it mean here? What does it mean in this context? What are we talking about? What are these two factors, when you leave and when you're coming back? Like, what impact do they have? So, if you're a Yerushalmi, for example, Yerushalmi encourages Bodhik, Dvika. It should also be noted that Yerushalmi kind of flips the whole perspective here. For the Yerushalmi, if you're going to come back earlier, actually, there's less of a reason to need to do B'dika before you go. So again, Ron tries to integrate the Bible in Rishami, but the Pashas, a few conditions in Rishami here, but the Pashas in Rishami, this is a whole different, way more pragmatic understanding of the whole question. But anyways, Rishami thinks that the issue is with B'dika. The Rambam is the only one, Stephen, right? Also thinks it's about B'dika. How do we know that, as we mentioned the other day? Where does Rambam put this? Paragimel, right? Halakha, what is it? Paragimel, halakha, I'm sorry, Paragresa, Halakha, the test. Right, the last din of Bidika. In a parable which wasn't immediately touched in the soup, like halacha base, but after halacha gimel, right, continues discussing Bidika. So for the Rambam, for the Rishonim, maybe that's a reason, for many Rishonim, this sukkah is really about Bidika. And the assumption is, for almost all Rishonim, that whatever we're talking about here, the Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, implications are neutralized by Bidika. That's what Rashi is called Rashi, and that's what we started mentioning the other day, House of Cedar, which was supporting Rashi, which Rashi received very quickly.
Right.
What's that? Yeah, feel right. So what's interesting about the Rashi, what's fascinating about the Rashi, is that clearly he was talking about Ayurveda Mate. He's talking about the inability of the Vito in this particular case, because it's too late, right? And also the fact that it's the Krishna over now. So there are two opposite. Right. One is that it seems like the only thing I was talking about, Tzokot Kabari, Tzokot Kabari, is taken literally in terms of Tashbisu. And not only me, but in terms of my Rabbi, I would say. And the second case, of course, is that Kishon Ra'ah, over all that. But somehow, physical Ra'iyah, I mean, even if whether he means physical Ra'iyah, he means finding, that seems to be the way within the function. That subtitle is a factor. So that second factor, as we discussed, is part of larger body of organization. Is that I'm actually applying the body of my body? But the idea that this Bedashi would be dealing with body of my and somehow leaving before Rosh Hashanah. When you leave, when you come back, that effect would be violated by Rabbi Matze. And then you call us violation also depend on whether you actually may be confronted or know it or see it is shocking. And this is something which which you show kind of devoted a little bit in Rashi Ram. It's also consistent with the next Rashi. Because if one goes on talks about based on Tsar, but say that it's that. It's going to be for me.
Yeah,
this is my buzz and all the
including Shloshim Edition, 27,
Edition, Shloshim 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 Edition, you know, on base on the correct? Then he said, this guy.
Though he quotes his,
he said, but the problem is that that requires people. That one, that one, you don't see it? And make it up. Good? Anybody else? Good. Go on.
Yeah,
so basically he's saying, oh, it sounds like Rashi thinks this is something serious. This is a real dimbalasa. Is that what you mean? I mean, advice are your own competence and your interests, right? You should buy a right good thing by your own master. What we say is like college of Napoleon, right? Because you didn't really have a chance to move around, etc. You left 30 days before, you're not getting back, you know, to encounter it, right? So he said, okay, you want to start compared to Kamachala, like basics are, which Rashi does. He says that that's even that requires it. Right? So, I think the answer to that question is twofold. Number one, as we see in the Kirtan, maybe there are two categories of Bhai Shinafa Mahapolis, right? Like Ramadan explained that about the base and the Kamachala Torah. There's Mahapolis that don't know Mahapolis Kirtan. Right? Maybe you give a Sarah for Bhai Shinafa. There's only Mahapolis Kirtan. That's number one. But number two, which I said the other day, how does Rashi interpret the requirement of Tzarek Ba'al Sivan? Yeah, and that itself is a Dibur Abba. In the Gemara explanation of the Mishnah, it's very possible that that's a fundamental thing, meaning not how much Rabba, not all that is an excuse not to do the Dibur. Right? Or maybe an excuse even not to do Bior. You know, let's say normally it's preferable to the Bior, or maybe the Chametz should be Yadua. I mean, the Chametz Yadua, maybe Bior normally doesn't work. But if it's not all of Mapolas, you know, it's not worse than Yatsar and Chametz. You know, some of the things we spoke about, we talked about Chametz Yadua, Rishonim, and so on. Okay. But at the end of the day, it's all like, what's really going on with Rashi? So I think that maybe Rashi is the Shukasa. Rashi says the whole din of Bittul, you know, is only a Rabbanasa. The real din is that Nafal of Mahapolis. You are, what, so you could still say that that's the din of Kibbur. But what does it mean, Kibbur? Right? So this is the base on the Rabbin is leading Rashi to Tzarkin. Because where is the one? How does any of this affect? How do these relatively trivial considerations, when you left, whether you're coming back objectively, I mean, you could be machish, the comments in your home, having to be equal, you know, to use the language of the closest community. Right? So we close that. So if you're the marshal, and the marshal, you get a chance. Right? They are also troubled by the Rav. They are troubled by the Rashi. It's a troubling Rashi. Okay? We show them we're troubled, and we have a problem with trouble. Yeah, let's start with the one second. If it's the Marsha, go ahead, yeah. Your day nine?
Yeah.
Sounds like Ru'iyah. Sounds like you're not aware if you don't see it. Yushalmi does have the possibility that this whole discussion is only the Sapek and not the Vada. And most of the Farshim understand that, that what that means is most of the Yushalmi already quote the Sushalmi understand that it means Sapek Kamas. Okay? Others, interestingly, interpret the Yushalmi, some of the Farshim actually, that the Sapek and Yushalmi is Sapek Vada. If it's Sapek Vada, it goes to the rubric, under the rubric of a whole different topic, you know, that we've already discussed. And that is Sapek Bidikas Chametz. You know, even if you say Chametz, it is Kedah and Sapek. And the different types of Sapekos as we discussed. It's Sapek Bagak, Sapek was a breach after the Bidika, Sapek Bagak Shemachisim also Chametz. Maybe the Sapek matters also, you know, when. But the pashas is kind of talking about Sapek. So the Mashal, as a desperate, you know, measure to save, you know, understanding the Rashi, well, it must be talking about Sapek. And even then, okay, so it's a Sapek Kamet, so Sapek Bali Rav, that's how I say. How Sapek Kamet right? So that he has to kind of turn into, oh, that's where the Rigiya comes in a little bit. So basically, by invoking Yushalmi, you know, the Marshal is assiduously working diligently to kind of neutralize both distinctive elements in Rashi. Number one, you would be potter from Bali Roya, you know, even though you have chametz, just because you're not a character at all. You left early and you're not coming back. And number two, what does Yudhiya mean? He basically turns Yudhiya into Yudhiya. Okay? To make it Vat Vishnachri Dharma. In Obrahma Shas HaYudhiya. That's his Jadam Rama. Okay? Keep going. We'll come up on the Lifra Pimamusha. If he comes home on the, he's honest. Okay, and if he comes home on Kalamoe, he's a kind of man. Baka Shalom, it's not someone just came in the house, you know, it's raining. So, you know, they'll wait a little bit. Oh, they'll hit Bali Rama. Okay? So he's suggesting another shot, like in the opposite direction. Either this Rashi is an unbelievable kula, so he's working to neutralize that as much as possible, but he has to talk with it. Or maybe the Pshad is, that's an unbelievable thing. The Rashi is actually saving what he's talking about. But he actually does. Maybe doesn't mean Bali Rai. He means, you know, even effectively, you don't violate Bali Rai. Comments in your heart. Almost a little bit like the Gaara of the Shibali Alek, you know, and that Minha. So what did Marshall say? Also, you know, he's trying very, very hard. What's a Marshall? So he's working with Kamachana Mapolis. Again, I don't want to spend more time running out of time, but what I think you could say for Rashi, you know, which is obviously what we'll be discussing, is that Rashi needs it. Rashi needs both things. And what Rashi's saying is, you know, if you want to invoke Shnei Dvarim and Mishu Soshem Adam and the hanging by a thread, you know, perspective of Ba'yura, maybe that's helpful here too. But I'm not sure if you need it or not. You know, but this is a tremendous kumar. Rashi has kumas and Rashi has kumas. So again, the kumar part of the Rashi is like, you know, for the same reason you can't have anything which is legally, you probably emotionally should be surrounded by it, you know, either. You know, so maybe there's a body world, it's the spirit of the body world. You know, if I've kept this guy, but it's not, you know, beyond Hakum, maybe that's, you know, without Yichud Makom, that's an issue too. That's the Chumra side. And of course, the Kula side is, listen, you went there, you left your home more than 30 days, we'll see what 30 days is in the home. Let's say the time frame, the adjacent, you know, time, you know, zone, whether it's, you know, where it's shy to think about it, to be tzara. So you haven't been, you know, if you're within Shoshin, you know, you've got to anticipate, or you're within the objective, you know, world, you know, of your temple world, of Chametz and Matz. Or there's a shame already of Chametz, whatever. You know, Shoshin Yom gives you. And then it's followed by Matz. But if you left before and you're not coming back, no. It's true that objectively, but objectively, maybe they wouldn't have been by your body once they anyway. So you run into the shot. Or even if there is, right? It's, you know, it's still hanging by a thread. It is a supernatural. You know? So you have to set that in your, you know, consciousness. Because objectively, you're not going to sue it to this comments for this test. Maybe that's what you mean. And maybe that's what it means about the Yudhiyah part, too. Like, if you did that, you know, you would need, you know, real Yudhiyah to be connected to it. Maybe objectively, normally, by what I might say, there's no indication that you broadly thinks that Yudhiyah means Yudhiyah. You know, the way that the Rukhudisha Pro and the others are arguing. And it's certainly, you know, the question of, well, that's good for what you are, but not what you want to say. I think Rashi's concern was that, you know, of course, if you confront it, you know, if you come back and you see it, you know, you can't say that it's not a tzura to you. I just didn't leave Shoshin Yom, apparently that has some legal significance. If you come back and you're never going to see it, you know, there. Right? That's not mitzvah. But when you see it, it's mitzvah. It's mitzvah to you, it's not your own hand. So that, I think, is what Rashi has in mind. If you want to say, ironically, something, you know, versus I would throw you a shalom. I would just say it a little differently than the Marsha. The question is whether it's something kind of other comments, and the tour of some comments is the anonymous, the Rashi is an indication of that. But the Pshat and Rashi may very well be that Safek comments is a precondition for this Kula of the Rise of Amma by Matzah. Right? Not because the sacred of the Kula, that's only applies to the Deacon. Not Rashi and talk about that. Not because of the motives, but as long as it's a side, you know, and you don't have a community cut, and you know, for more than 30 days, you know, you have been distant, where the shame comes of the community co-member is, you've been distant, and you have no intention of returning, encountering, or potentially encountering either. You know. So, Anderson saw the comments, but if it didn't buy comments, You know, that would be a different story. The bad itself, the knowledge of the bad, would still have been, you know, an egregious connection, you know, which would be awesome.
Okay.
So that's what I think Rashi is
really about.
Rabbi? Yeah.
Is this, for Rashi, is this qualitatively different than Kamehameha's big bullet, just like a normal case of
Kamehameha? I think it is. I think it is. Because, in the normal case of Kamehameha's big bullet, you are still yourself. You know, in a place where there's a key of comments. Once you're in a place of key of comments.
But I thought the finish of Bulin is that even if it's very far away from you, you're not going to encounter it on Pisa, but it's in your shows.
Right, I think there's still a difference. If you are the Chuyah of a Bayura in general, wherever you are, then that extends to places like. You know, that extends to places of Gabulin as well. I think what Rashi is saying is that you go to the Shayara, you're not in a place where there's any comments at all. And therefore you, Begabra, are like, you know, Mufka from all of them. But if you live in a home and you also have comments in your Gabulin, I mean, I think you could have said that. I think that explains the Havamina very well. But I think that they're totally different circumstances. As long as you, Begabra, have a Chiyu, a biur, a bedika and biur, and are subject to by Rabbi Matze, and that's true for all far flung, you know, places that you won't think. That's different than you're traveling. You're traveling before 30 days. You're going to be traveling, you know, till after Pesach. You're not going to be anywhere where this comes. But then.
Does he have to get rid of the comments that's with him on the boat?
What?
Presumably, you might have
comments
with him.
You think it's not
a buffalo
and
sure.
Well, I'm saying, well, we're talking about comments, which isn't. Which, what do you mean by comments with him? Oh, okay, yeah, but that doesn't. Right, we don't look at that as a din of B or comments in the Kohen. That's just, you know, it cannot be. It can't eat comments on this. So, I guess if he's going to a place where.
But can he could keep that comments with him on the boat and he would have to.
I mean, that's an interesting technical question, but I guess as long as there's no makom and it's just connected to him bebailos, you know, it's like, again, would this work better if you also need rishus in addition to shalom for Rashi? Maybe. I mean, Rashi doesn't believe in the p'tur akum, but that doesn't mean he doesn't think that there isn't some notion of rishus. Interesting. I'm not sure technically. I think this is what Rashi is suggesting. Okay. Now, yeah.
Just the Medrash Seif El Tov that we saw like earlier, like the same Medrash Seif, like says the idea that I think we have to say for Rashi.
What is it?
It's like one or two lines.
Okay.
He says, "Yichi Amrath Ki Mati Pesach Aika Chavet Bebeise." Question. The Kavar Al Bali Roi Bali Matze.
Well, I mean, he has like a limud for it.
Yeah, that part of it, I wasn't sure.
Interesting. Could be. Makes sense. Interesting. Second thought?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So, this is interesting. What is the purely Shloshim and what is its significance? Yeah, the other Rishonim, that this is all just about, well, even for other Rishonim, particularly for Rashi, one of this. So the Ritva has an interesting line. Anybody see the Ritva? Josh? The Ritva has a debate with the Rav. Usually the Ritva just quotes the Rav, you know, the excess. It's very, very loyal, you know, impact and power. Here are the screws of the Rav. Your quotes are all the same, right?
You're doing beer within 30 days, and
then acting
bracha.
Say again?
And you make a bracha,
even if it's kodem shloshim.
Yeah.
And the Ritva himself says what? That only tov shloshim is, of course, the fascinating debate in general, Like what about Kamech Tocha Petzach? What about Kamech Achar Petzach? You don't know Bracha. Rama will make Bracha for Kamech Bedika. So if you do Bedika, you make Kamech, you make a Bracha, of course, million dollars. And you make a Bracha on Petzach. But you don't make a Bracha after Petzach. There are some, I think, in Hiri as they know, you mentioned earlier, the Lachar Petzach. What about Lifted Petzach? Right, as we know, there's also a discussion. Does it matter if it's, let's say, Yom Yom Yom, right? Yom Yom Yom. But now we're talking about, you know, within Shlosh Yom, if you're reading, or even Kodim Shlosh Yom, you know, in cases where you're returning. When do you make a bracha? So what is the Mitzvah of the Ra'ah says? Whenever you are Chayav Levar, whenever it's up with Levar, right? You make a bracha. Is that because he thinks that as long as pragmatically you're obligated to do bedika, no matter what the nature of the bedika, you're always obligated to make a bracha? Or is that because he thinks that whenever you're obligated to make a bedika, it's always a maximal key in the mitzvah? And it's always making the bala in place of Tobias Baduk, or it's always Tchilas Habir, whatever the case. Maybe. And you know, these are just different, you know, again, like I was talking about before. Is Lifnei Shlosh Yom Yom and is Chozer two different demon? Like if they're two different demon, well, all the same thing. Right? The Ritva is a group. The Ritva says Shlosh Yom Yom is the Shira of Law, Josh. Chovas Pedika. And if there is a requirement of Pedika before Shlosh Yom Yom, this is the thing called Pedika, this may be did more pragmatically. Because if you don't do it, you will worry when you come back that you'll confront a situation. That's more like a siyah, an isar. It sounds like the Ritva thinks that there are really two things. Number one, that Shlosh Yom Yom is a shiur, right? And number two, that there are two dinim of bika. There is a pragmatic din of bika, more like the Bali Tosas in Yochal, or Shema Yab, or Avayi Roa, right? Or, you know, Kedeva Meir. And then there's more of a formal, you know, Kiyum, the Mitzvah, and that's Shlosh Yom Yom. So in general, when we encounter the argument, you know, when do you make a bracha? What about La, what about Racha, what about Tzotok? You know, when, even within, as I say, God, within Shlosh Yom Yom. Never mind Maka Shlosh Yom Yom. The two dimensions to the problem. One is what kind of bedika do you require for Maka? And are there more than one type of bedika? And number two is like where do you draw the line, you know, in types of bedika? You could have said it's a job. And this of course goes to the question that and that is, why is the Bikas Chametz Yom Yedalim, but there's a bit of Shlosh Yom Yom, you know, Lifnei Achar? Like, what's the relationship between those two things? That's a really interesting question. So this, of course, touches on, again, the nature of what the Bika is. Chashash Shachila, Shemi Yishkach Levata, you know, Tchila is Biur, Akiyam in its own right of Bidika Sabayis, etc. These are really the, you know, this argument between the Yom Hazar Ra'ah in general, and this whole question, is connected to this, to this problem. And in a way, it's connected to the next part of the Gemara. What's the next part of the Gemara? Is human? That is equal points of time. The Shlosh Yom Yom. How's it going? I'm not here. I'm the Shlosh Yom Yom. I have a little time.
It's time
to show the Shlosh Yom Yom. Yeah. The Shlosh Yom Yom.
Okay.
Okay, the young Shakam Karim, even a little faster. But it's interesting to note that when it comes to other Moadim, what's the evidence of other Moadim? Fabian? Megillah. What does everyone say in Megillah? A lot of days. But you go right, you shouldn't walk with this out, right? The Dilu Shloshim Yom or not? Say again? That's what the Gemara says in Megillah? What does the Gemara say? Binyamin? On Yom Tov itself. That's, of course, the big question. So you have Shloshim Yom, that's a special thing we have in Pesach. There are some Rishonim posting saying, oh, Paz Pesach, Paz everywhere. You have the Gemara and Megillah, which is the day itself. And then you have the day of the Gemara and Shem Gamil, 2 weeks or many days. So again, without any time in Pesach, part of the question is, you know, is there a machlokas? Is Pesach different? Are there more than one din? Maybe there's a pragmatic din. So the Ran says, for example, that the din of Shoshim, you know, the din of what?
Iran
the
din of Shoshim,
say again? So that's a special din of Shulchan. It applies to other holidays too. But that's not the din of the special Chiyuv Limud. The Kedusha Sayyom, the man, you immerse yourself in it. That's Baal Sayyom, right? Beis Yosef and others, you know, and other Rishonim in the world, say, no, there's a special din of Pesach. It's, you know, preparation for Pesach. But again, more pragmatically, because there's more, you know, preparation to make, or it's the first Yom Tov, it's the Chag HaAmunah, you know, I think there are many other reasons, you know, possibly, which I thought about the last year. Beis Yosef himself suggests, again, according to Shalom, there's a difference between Shalom and Dorsh. What's Shalom and what's Dorsh?
Shalom is about things that pertain to the holiday itself. Dorsh refers to things that are relevant at this current point.
Correct. So that's why it's, you know, one is more abstract, let's say, and the other is more, you know, halacha l'maaseh, what you need. There's a shalom and there's a darsh. It's a very fascinating topic. I don't want to, you know, to go into it. The Taz says, what time to get? The Ritva is actually, you know, explaining, like, what's the connection? What do you mean, shalom and my own title? Shalom and the darsh. What's it got to do with, you know, by Rabbi Matze or Adika. So the Taz, you know, kind of says, no, because the very fact that this din shows Shem Yom shows there must be some din in the plot. Well, what's the ichos of showing the Dosh Shem Yom? Must be those shadows that already come up. Like it's a very pragmatic, you know, way of looking at it. Like, you know, why would you have Shem Yom if there wasn't a shiloh that's already Shem Yom? So it must be that Shloshim Yom, so they have got a, you know, Zohar or whatever it is. But of course, the Pashtos is a much better explanation. And that is the common of Shalom Kodoshim and this halakha is that you're in the zone, the adjacent zone of Pesach already. Shloshim Yom, which will. That's why, when it comes to Chovas Adika, it makes a difference. Right, and that's why, already showing the notion, whether it's a Shol Kinyan, or whether it's even more abstract, or even it's the times already. And again, now, this is a general din Moad, that they still have a backward to the month before. Because that's already like a time zone. And then you just say, oh, you go, etc. Or whether this is something unique about the first Yom Tov, which we talked about, or the paradigm of the Torah, or just the themes particularly of the Siyam Toh, you know, that, you know, is another question. Maybe different Yom Tov about different, you know, time zones. And, you know, when it comes to Sukkot, it's interesting to look at its time zone, right, in terms of the Yom of the Right. Like our Ramban says, you know, Achodesh Hazeh, Achodesh Hazeh. So, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Maybe it begins from Rosh Hashanah, it's Sneakers, or maybe not. Certainly connected to Yom Kippur in a very special way. And when it comes to Shavuot, it's Misaba to say that there is like a special day, you know, that goes all the way back to Pesach, frankly, because of the offering. Especially according to the Ramban, who says that it's like a Chol Hamoed. Ramban's view is that the sphere is like a Chol Hamoed to the ancestors of the Shavuot. So it's very reasonable to think that, that the nature, the character, a particular character, of different Yom Tovim would also determine, you know, that adjacence. And that's something to think about very seriously. In addition, you know, goes to the question particularly of Chobas Adika. And especially about the kind of human part of that, and where the so give me about 7 more minutes. Thank you. Actually, I want to talk about Rama for a minute. But where there is difference between, say, the Chobas bias and Chobas bias begins, and when the Chobas Hagavra of Bidika begins, and what the different types of Bidikas are. So it's a very fascinating Kedusha Rebbe that I mentioned. Of course, like Rav used to say, the Chobas Gavra is Yom Yedah. But maybe the Chobas Habayas, or Chalos of Habayas, which needs Pinu, maybe that begins on Rosh Hashanah. Ritva is a whole Rav Yah has a very interesting, has a very interesting discussion where he says, if you are, even if you leave the house of a non-Jew, which itself will not require bedika, right, because they're living there, but you leave within the Shosh Yom, you have a Chobas bedika, you know, of Chobas. Sounds like it's a Chobas Agavra without a bias. Then he says, if you're before Shosh Yom, as long as you're going to end up in some bias showing sorrow, you're always in there. That sounds like everything about you. So weighing these two demons, from a Chobas and a Chobas Shur, have to come across as, but the relationship between Shosh Hashanah and Abidah is an interesting, you know, nuance. It says, and Yom Shosh Hashanah will be chayav to the Bidika and Yom Yedah. So instead of like splitting up question, Yom Yedah, what kind of Chiyu Bidika is Yom Yedah, what kind of Chiyu Bidika begins in Shosh Hashanah, he says the Chiyu Bidika Yom Yedah begins in Shosh Hashanah. Instead of saying that so a lot of this has to do, so I want to end up with 5 more minutes just to talk about, just to have done a little bit, about both the Yitzhak and Shabbat. So I see if you did such a great job, just start with that for a minute, and we'll finish in a little bit of 5 minutes. Okay, I'll have you done, and time to go. We're going to go through this again. Sorry, I can't confuse. We'll go through the details. But the Gemara still said that the language of le implies a chotzakah. Right? And that isn't necessarily true in all people. Go ahead. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that you can have a chi and bracha with different results depending on who does it. You have to see whether that's true in the world's kind of And if it is so, is it more like a question of technical goal, like efficiency or accuracy? Or does it imply that there are two different roles, a different kind of, like when the father does the Ilah, or some Moel does the Ilah? You know, two different colors. Okay, got it. Basically. Well, something about the child, but this is something we discussed last year, in the beginning of last year, and the learn. Okay, is there a key shita? Even Kishirinsa, is it only a key? Is it just a map here? You know, what are the implications of this Gemara? Like, gears different, gearsos, right? The Bahad, the Bahad, the Hashbah, so they have this gearsa. Yeah, go ahead. Pasuk Kachin, like you know. The Gemara is saying it's a key. Personal key of Shrita for Pesach and Kach. You might have been recalling to Pesach and Kach, frankly. That's a lot of things we discuss, especially the role of Shrita in Pesach, which is both the Sukkim and the Dinim formulation of Rama, and the role that Shrita plays in the Korban Pesach, as opposed to Shrita and other Korbanos, and also relative to Zrika. So the idea that Shrita and Korban Pesach, particularly, a special deal, but you know, is it also Shal Kachin? Mm-hmm. And if so, how does that relate to Kul? Okay. In our company? Yeah. Is it a Masiyas and an Avon Masiyas? No, we'll discuss. Okay. You have to see what's up. You bought it?
That's the way I am.
The whole assumption is that you have to make a bracha on this. Like, how do you do that? Now, here you would expect that they would be quoting the Pesukim, a pasuk, right? But they don't. Simply assumes that the Dika requires a bracha. There's a bracha for that. Now we know that there's a debate, because we just encountered an aspect of it, like whether all the Dikos are equal in requiring a bracha. Right? The Ritva and the Rava. Right? About Shoshin. And then there is the Rambam and the Biyuri and others. What about Lachar Pesach? There are discussions about Torah Pesach. And as I say, there are discussions about any time other than Yom Kippur. Clearly, you're not allowed enough to make a bracha. Any other time, practically, there is some sort of debate. Now, on the first surface, if you hold my thoughts from the beginning of the second time, which is that the Dika is simply a Siyah. So you make a bracha for a Siyah. Number one, it's more like an Easter. And moreover, it's a sin. But of course, we have discussed quite often, according to the Rambam, for example, it's very sacred. That's how we characterize it, Parakalah Parakimah. The Rambam is a transition from Tashbisu to the Dika. For the Yerushalmi, right? It might have been the Raisa from Rambam, there might be aspects of it that I've got Raisa. You know, all along, we've seen, right, that there are different perspectives on what role Vidika plays. So either as Hekshar Rabiur, or especially as, you know, Pinu Yamaka, or if, you know, Hakana itself is a, not just a regular being, but it's a special being, in Hakana, the Yane, or the, you know, the Biohanas, the idea that Vidika is a key, and again, there's a reason why you know, the mitzvahs, and maybe even more than that, according to the language of Rama, in Paragraph and some of the consequences of delay, you know, tefillah, avatar, things that we discussed about before. The idea that there is enough of a key in the mitzvah that justifies a brother. And then, there's a secondary debate, whether all bedikas are alike, right? Or whether there are different types of bedikas in the nachkirim of Yahweh bracha. All of that, you know, is highlighted by this. The other thing to think about is the language of Bidur, which we touched on. And again, does that change depending on which bedikah we're talking about? That's an important Rashi, you know, highlights, and that we shall discuss. Hekshar Bidur, the Arkham Kavishra Bais, you know, etc. And of course, the problem of if there is a bracha, what about Hefsek? What about, and how do you define the Hefsek? Based on the Tchilas of the Dika or the end of the Dika? Right? These are all questions to think about that we're going to pick up in the next time. What about Bracha Batal if you don't find any Ben? Does that matter or not? Is the putting out the minute of putting out the Ben, because it's all about finding the Ben and it's a Hashem for Tashbisu, Bihur, or is it about Pinui and Ayas, in which case maybe the Talamina is either a separate thing, or a Shior, and it's a way of encouraging or showing that you did a proper Dika. It's about the rigor of the Dika. What about Shlichos, the Dika? Do you need it? Does it work? And, you know, what about Ketanim or non-Jews? Going back a little bit to the Gemara, can you Rabban the Rabbana? Does the Ketanim say that they did a Vedika? Can Ketanim do a Vedika? Right? What about a person who owns multiple residences? Right? One bracha, multiple brachos? Right? And let's say he wants to do Vedika on his home and his neighbor's home. So all of these are questions to think about in terms of the scope of Bidika's comments as reflected in the Dine Brach, some of which we've discussed and some of which we're going to pin down in a little more. The next question to think about, again, as I conclude, is the whole Shachar Kali Gemara is very curious, and it might be related to things we just read. Because the Gemara says that Kula Alma, right, that the language of Lil is a proper language for, you know, a birchasamitz. So the Gemara is very curious because the Gemara goes back and says, ah, but if you say, ow, you know, it's the future, it's the past, but when it comes to comments, why not just say, levaya, it's a comments? There is a comments on Yahweh. What's the benefit of saying, I'll be your comments, right, which is controversial? And again, a kind of similar question to Dr. Lula. At least in Lula, we understand counter pressure. Did I have enough of it? I'm not quite certain how you solve the problem, because still you don't know how to see us. Right? You can't lie just because you're difficult. Maybe you have a difficulty doing you don't know how to see us. I'm sorry, you have a difficulty saying Leviathan, if you use a past phrase when you're doing it in a future way. Which is why Bobby Foster's point out that it isn't only past, it's just more ambiguous that we prefer than the latter. Okay. But why, when it comes to comments, can't we just say the latter? Is there something about saying I'll be here, which is actually as long as it too can, for the future, a more precise and a more, you know, appropriate way of referring to this particular mitzvah? And if so, you know, what does that reflect in general about these different mitzvahs and different types of mitzvahs? So that's the agenda, both the specific and the Bidikas HaNefesh one, which we'll try to do quickly because we touched on a lot of these issues, but also to think of like a bigger picture of the categories of mitzvahs as reflected by the Brachos. And then finally, to look at all of this within the framework of also trying to figure out what is the nature of Birkas HaMitzvah vis-a-vis other brachos that we're familiar with. Berachas Shachar Avodah, you know, Berachas HaNamin, Berachas HaTorah, Berachas HaMazon. Where does Berachas HaMitzvah fit in general? Of course, that has to be part of the discussion and equation. So hopefully we'll touch on the pickup of the pattern next year, which will be in the beginning of the Jinsan. Wish you all Hatzlacha on your exams. And we'll follow you continue.